funding for Think is made possible by SMU Continuing and Professional Education.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. How do political campaigns come up with so much dirt on their opponents, and what do they need to know about their own candidates to protect them from damaging revelations? In many cases, the information that candidates would prefer to keep hidden is uncovered by professional opposition researchers, paid to document potentially embarrassing facts and then turn them over to campaign managers, who might hold them, hide them, or leak them, whatever they believe is best for their candidate. Former reporter Michael Rajabian has been in the field for nearly 20 years, investigating candidates from both parties for local, state, and national office. Together with his business partner, Alan Huffman, he's the author of We're With Nobody, Two Insiders Reveal the Dark Side of American Politics, and he's here now to talk about his work. Michael, welcome to Think.
Thanks for having me.
So talk about how you got into this. It wasn't a straight line for you from journalism to this.
No, both Alan and I had moved from journalism into government jobs with some office holders, and did that for a few years, and then decided Alan, actually, his job evaporated when his guy lost. He was working for the former governor. Mm-hmm. So we decided at that point that we'd go ahead and form this business and get into it, and we knew a fellow who was had asked us if we wanted to do some research for him, and we did, and discovered that we really enjoyed it and kind of just took off from there.
So obviously you love your work. You found some really interesting things. People might be surprised to know how much time you spend in really mundane document searches in public buildings.
Oh, I mean, that's the vast majority is spent in some clerk's office somewhere just pouring through minutes of some council or you know, some government body. And you have to do that. I mean, you have to find, you take a piece of information from one place and a piece from another, and you put those two things together and try to form a little trail and write a story. I mean, basically what we do is we tell a story, and we tell a story about the candidate that we're researching, and also the candidate, you know, our guy that we're, you know, the self-research we do.
Yeah, let's talk about self-research, because there are some candidates who say, well, I have nothing to hide, and sure enough, they ought to have themselves checked out ahead of time.
Well, I think a good example of that is Herman Cain.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing to us sometimes how certain you know, candidates think they can kind of skip through the minefields of their personal lives and come out smelling great at the end. And what they have to realize is that it never works that way. I mean, there's nothing that's hidden in politics for very long. So it is important that candidates who decide to run for office really look at themselves, because and a lot of times it's not that they have something to hide. It's that they just don't really remember all the things that are in their background, or they don't look at it as something that could be damaging. And we take it and put it in a political context to make sure that it isn't.
I was thinking about that. Now, it seems that almost everyone in their lives somewhere would have something that some opposition group could say, well, this is terrible and it proves you're a horrible person. Even something, as you say, that we might have, I mean, I don't know that Herman Cain forgot about these incidents. I really don't know what's in his head. But everybody's had a traffic ticket that they've forgotten about, or something that would make them look bad.
Well, I think that's true. Of course, not everybody runs for office. Mm-hmm. What you have to do is you have to take those instances, and you know, we're kind of the first cog in the wheel here. So the things that we uncover, they just don't show up willy nilly. I mean, there's a process, and the information that we gather goes to a pollster. So what you end up seeing on TV is the end of a really detailed process, and so those things, you know, that come out, you know, they come out because that's what was meant to be.
Well, talk about this, because it is critical to you and to Alan Huffman, your business partner, that the information you present has been documented. And this makes you different from some of the other sources of untrue information that find their way out there and attach themselves, for many cases wrongly, to a particular candidate.
Well, we've always lived by a kind of a motto that if we can't document it, then it's not usable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's so many, the difference between just the last few election cycles, that there's like an infinite number of delivery mechanisms out there for information. And so you really don't know what you're getting. Just by virtue of repetition, something that goes viral, you know, people believe it. And without the documentation to back it up, it's really useless. So you're correct. We don't turn over anything to the candidate that we can't document.
Yeah, I was thinking about Donald Trump saying, you wouldn't believe what my investigators are finding about Barack Obama. And he never actually told us because, I don't know, perhaps they found nothing or perhaps they decided not to use whatever it was they found.
Well, I think generally if people say they're finding a lot of great stuff but it never comes out, it's because they don't have the documents to back it up. And go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, talk a little bit about your methods, because another thing that you never do is lie to get information, although you don't typically give more information than you have to, and you rarely reveal who you're working for.
Well, yeah, I mean, our work is very confidential, mm-hmm. So, you know, we're very behind the scenes, and we don't divulge who we're working for. That's kind of where part of the name of the book came from. We're with nobody, because that's the first question we generally get when we walk into a government office, courthouse somewhere. The first thing they say is, well, who are you guys with? And mm-hmm. we say, you know, we're just with us. We're not with anybody. And, you know, we take that, because the work we're doing is we try to be very objective. And when we're doing this, it's not like, you know, in our minds, it's not, we're really not working for one party or another. We're just gathering facts, and we let the facts speak for themselves.
It might surprise people, Michael, who have no background in journalism, how many things that are by law public record are difficult to obtain because human beings get in the way for reasons that may or may not have anything to do with protecting an individual. Sometimes they just don't want to give the information.
You're correct, and most information is public record. Now, you may have to file an open records request to get it, but it also depends on where you are in the country. There are some places we go where it's very easy to walk in and get a piece of information, and some other places may be more difficult. But at the end of the day, if you know what you're doing, you know, you just kind of, you outlast them, and they'll try to put up so many roadblocks, but you've just got to be willing to, and I say this to the public, too, who's looking for information. You just got to be willing to outlast them and make sure they understand that what you're asking for, they're legally required to give to you.
I think it's one of the chapters written by Alan, but he talks about how important it is to, at least starting out, to be just incredibly nice to the people who are in a position to help you.
Well, I think that's probably the way you should start off anything. But yeah, I mean, it is helpful. You go in there and try to, you know, be nice to them and tell them what you want. And if that doesn't work, you know, you take it to another level. And you know, it runs the gamut. But sometimes you don't have to.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it doesn't hurt to play dumb. Like, why can't you get me this information?
Well, and it just depends on who you're dealing with. You walk in, and if you play dumb and say, you know, I really don't know what I'm looking for. Can you help me find this? And there's no threat there. So I think, you know, people look at that as something that's, you know, somebody who's easier to deal with, and they're not divulging any information because these guys don't really know what they're going to do with it anyway.
Yeah, talk about that, because you present this information that you found to the campaigns for which you are working, and then they make the call about how to handle it.
Well, and that's what I was saying earlier. It is a process. So the information we gather, we put together into a report. That goes to a pollster. The pollster will take the highlights from that. They'll develop their questions. They'll test those, see which plays the best. And that's what generally ends up on TV, what you see. It ends up in press releases from the campaign. It ends up in information that's leaked to a newspaper. But it's all very well planned. Now, there are certain things that happen during the course of a campaign that you don't anticipate, mm-hmm. and those things may or may not come out depending on, but that's kind of a gut deal. You got to say, this is something really great. We got to get this out. Sometimes you look at it and say, nah, it's not worth it.
What can you tell us about how decisions are made with regard to the self-research done on a candidate, assuming that there is something embarrassing? How are decisions made about whether to try to keep that hidden or to put it out there and sort of confess it out ahead of someone else telling the story?
Well, again, it goes to the it just depends on how it's deemed, how it's going to play.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it's something that I'll say this to you, you can guarantee that if you're doing research, the other side's doing research too.
Mm-hmm.
So the information that I have on the candidate that I'm working for, I have to always automatically assume that the other side also has that information.
Mm. So in other words, you can't figure, well, we found this, we'll just keep our mouths shut and then no one will have it. If you could find it, someone else can find it.
Yeah, and you always have to assume that it's going to come out. And so you have to prepare for that. And that's the importance of self-research, is to be able to prepare for those attacks.
Mm-hmm. 1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. My guest this hour is Michael Rajabian, now partner in the political research firm Huffman and Rajabian, and co-author of the new book, We're With Nobody, Two Insiders Reveal the Dark Side of American Politics. If you'd like to join the conversation, we do have lines open at 1-800-933-5372. You can also send email to think@kera.org. I am joined once again in studio by KERA 90.1 and KXT Vice President Jeff Ramirez. Hey, Jeff.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of responsibility there, Chris. No, just kidding.
Right now, you're just my buddy, Jeff, who's got some information, some updates on our goals for the 1 o'clock hour.
Yeah, here's the real accountability right now. During this hour of Think, the goal to stay on track to complete this membership drive in half the time compared to last year around the same time, and that would be by Friday of this week. That's just 4 days from now. The goal this hour is to raise $6,500 by 1 to stay on track. And we've already made some progress, but we've got to make a lot more progress. There's still $5,935 to raise this hour. Every single one of these dollars is important, quite literally, to help cover the cost of running KERA so that you can continue to count on it, so that it's a reliable source of the news, the information, and the discussion that helps keep you more connected than any other radio station on the air here in North Texas. So please do call in or go online and make your contribution right now.
1-888-694-6931 is the number, or go online to kera.org. We do have copies available this hour of the fascinating book by my guest, Michael Rajabian, and his business partner, Alan Huffman. It's called We're With Nobody, Two Insiders Reveal the Dark Side of American Politics. Really, really eye-opening look at this process of opposition research. It is a very interesting book. It's not salacious. They don't name names. It really is about the process and how it's done and how it affects politics as they are done in the 21st century. Anyone who is a political junkie and really wants to know how this sort of thing comes about would be interested in the book. We have it available as a thank you gift when you make a contribution at or above the $120 level today. Consider doing that at kera.org. Or call 1-888-694-6931.
You know, Chris, when I hear you and Jeff Whittington on the air during the membership drives, the two of you, you know, talk a lot about the research, what we know about the Think audience, the KERA audience. I'll tell you, I've got a couple pages of names here, people who've listeners who've called in or gone online and made a contribution during today's presentation of Think, including Robert Moore in Plano, Warren Booth in Little Elm, Rush Griffith in Dallas, and Joe Guy in Fort Worth. Now, you know, I just read off four names right there. Thanked four listeners who've contributed. You know, kind of think of these listeners as a sample of the KERA audience, of the Think audience. And, you know, I think we've said already today that we need about 400 more listeners, mm-hmm. 400 more listeners to make a contribution to end the drive successfully in half the time, again, compared to last year. You know, and we know there are more than enough listeners tuned in right now. There are more than 400 listeners tuned in right now who are not already members of the station, who could really help end the drive right now.
In fact, who are likely to make a contribution mm-hmm. at some point between now and Friday. Why wait?
It kills me.
Why wait? This is like talking to my 12-year-old about, like, why not just take your shower now?
You know, here's another sampling of people who are listening to Think right now who've
right.
Called in or made their contribution online. Thank you to Karen Ferris. Hi, Karen, in Plano. Tien Nguyen Stocks in Plano, up in Collin. Kimberly Lolo in Mesquite, and Mike Green in Denton. All of them, they've done their part. Just a small sample of all of you listening to the station right now. And if all of you who are listening right now called in and made a contribution, I'll say it again with complete confidence. Drive would be over right now.
How about a friends level membership at or above the $1,500 level? If you can't do that, pick your amount. You can do just a few dollars a month and still make a significant difference to the station. Go online now to kera.org. Check out thank you gifts, including copies of We're With Nobody by my guest for this hour, Michael Rajabian. Also copies of Too Big to Know by David Weinberger. If you would like to make your contribution and secure your thank you gift over the phone, you can do that as well. The telephone number is 1-888-694-6931. Back in about 2 minutes with Michael Rajabian.
Funding for Think is made possible by SMU Continuing and Professional Education.
You can enrich your career with new certificate programs in web design, graphic design, and paralegal studies. Learn more at smu.edu/CAPE.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is former journalist Michael Rajabian, who is now a partner in the political research firm Huffman and Rajabian. His new book is called We're With Nobody: Two Insiders Reveal the Dark Side of American Politics. If you'd like to join us, we do have lines open at 1-800-933-5372, or you can send email to think@kera.org. So, Michael, up to now, the research we have talked about has had to do with finding things in the public record or documents that might exist. But there is also the part of your job that involves talking to the ex-spouse, the ex-employee, the ex-college roommate, people who might have a more personal sort of information about these candidates.
Well, I mean, we interview a variety of people. I don't think it's just exes, although we do write in there that exes do make some of the best sources. But, you know, even when we do that, I'll give you an example. It's the last week with Newt Gingrich and his ex-wife, mm-hmm. who came out and leveled some charges against him. I mean, we talk to folks like that, too, but it goes back again to documentation. And even though someone might tell us something that, okay, my spouse cheated on me or beat up his girlfriend in an airport, we wrote about. If we can't document that, mm-hmm. then again, it's pretty useless. And I think it's unfair to the voters to have to look at a piece of information where that has nothing behind it.
So it was interesting that the example that you cite in the book about speaking to an ex-spouse, finding out that her ex, who is now running for office, had an affair with a woman that he was accused of physically assaulting. You had to sort of go chase this down and see if you could verify it. And I was surprised that in certain cases, the police officer that you spoke to was sort of excited to help, not because he had an axe to grind with this candidate, but because it's sort of interesting to be part of this process.
I think that's true in a lot of cases. I mean, most times, obviously, law enforcement is not that way. But this was a little different because it was airport security, and it happened a long time ago, really before 9/11 and all the things that have to deal with airports now. But when we found the information, we gave it to the campaign, and they used it, and the fellow who was thinking about running decided not to run. So. It does have an impact.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go to the phone now and speak with Bill in Dallas. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Chris. I was not a big fan, but you won me over.
Okay, so, good.
Here's my question. When skeletons are found, is there often an effort to erase the past, to erase these misdeeds?
Thanks so much for your call. I don't know, Michael, if you were able to hear that the phone call was the line was a little unclear. Bill was asking if you find skeletons, what efforts might be made to sort of erase the records of those things if it's a candidate that you are working for.
You mean like physically erase the records?
Well, I suppose let me see if we can have Bill clarify. Are you talking about Bill actually physically getting rid of the records or just sort of hiding them?
Oh yeah. Pull the records from some city, some county clerk's office, maybe convince someone that they didn't witness this.
Yeah, what do you know about that, Michael?
I don't think that you would ever want to try to do that because, you know, there's always another avenue and you would end up, it would kill you. I mean, mm-hmm. if that was your campaign and it came out that you erased records of some misdeed in your past, I think you can just count yourself out right then.
So how do we decide which of these things bother us enough to allow a candidate to go up in flames and which don't? I'm thinking of, for example, slightly different stories here, but the Herman Cain adultery scandal and the Newt Gingrich adultery scandal. Herman Cain is no longer in the race. Newt Gingrich seems to be doing all right.
Well, it's how you handle it. A lot of times, you know, what's interesting is that the things that we put out there, it's not the actual information that's so damaging. It's how the candidate reacts to that. And Herman Cain reacted about as poorly as you can react. Newt Gingrich, on the other hand, if you watch that debate, you know, he laid it right back on the moderator, and he handled it very well. So it's a lot of it is how the other side handles it.
And the other idea is that what we really are bothered by in the American public is hypocrisy as opposed to particular actions themselves. We can forgive an action occasionally, but if a candidate appears to be hypocritical in his or her approach, that really makes us crazy.
Absolutely, and that's what we look for. You know, we look at what people say versus what they actually do. You know, there's a new opposition research has really come out in the last few years, and there's a lot more different groups doing it. I know there's a group now called American Bridge, and what they do is they look at all they do is examine videos of candidates and what they've said, and then they look at other videos and they try to compare those. It's kind of like what Jon Stewart does on The Daily Show, and it has a big impact.
It is interesting to me that this is not, it feels like a very brand new thing, but in fact, the founding fathers, in maybe a more informal way, were absolutely employed in this sort of thing.
Oh, this goes back to ancient Rome. I mean, as long as there have been politicians, there's been opposition research. I mean, somebody always wants to try to do somebody in or gain the other hand. So this is nothing new. It's a little different. I mean, I think back then, you could get your head severed for some of those things. I think we're a little more civilized in some respects today. Maybe in other respects, we aren't.
It does occur to me, as important as it is for voters to have some of this information, that some of our greatest leaders might have been undone by opposition research in their own day. I think about someone like Abraham Lincoln, who had a mentally ill wife. There were rumors that he had a homosexual interest in men. I don't know if the second is true, but the rumor persists. What do you think about that? And what do you think, are there people that we end up dismissing because they've done something wrong in the past that might not affect their ability to be a good leader?
I think the mores of the time dictate that, and it's interesting you mentioned that because one of the chapters in the book talks about that. And when we talked about the history of opposition research, there are historians who debate whether Lincoln, you know, it is a fact that he slept with a lot of men in the same bed, but you know that was accepted back then just because of the way lodging was and. So it wasn't that big of a deal, but you can bet that if something like that happened today, that he would be absolutely just grilled about it.
How does it work when someone hires you and your firm to do work for them? Do you sort of pre-interview and say, okay, put on the line anything you think we ought to know, and then we'll start from there?
If we're doing self-research, we sit down with the candidate first, and we try to have a one-on-one, just with us and not anybody else on the staff there, because it's easier because you've really got to ask him or her some tough questions, and get some honest answers, and so you want to take those, and it's a good starting place. It's not everything because a lot of times they don't want to tell you everything, or again, like I said earlier, a lot of times they just don't remember.
And I guess you also want, you have to be careful as you do your research not to tip your hand or reveal something that you want to be known only to your campaign.
Well, our information goes nowhere except to the campaign. So, I mean, we're very, conscious of that and making sure that it doesn't get out. It's not our job to release the information. So no, ours goes straight to them, and then what they do with it is really up to them.
Do they ask you ever for guidance on what to do with this information, or is it really not? Is it about you hand over a dossier and you're done?
No, sometimes we work with campaigns to on a strategy to what's the best time to release this, or should we release it at all? It just depends. I mean, I know that in almost every campaign, the media guys who put together the TV spots will send us a script, you know, the proposed script, to look over it one last time and say, let's make sure this is factual. Mm-hmm. So we do have input on those things.
Is that, do you think, the ultimate, for the most part, the use of the damaging facts that you find, they find their way into negative campaign ads?
The information that we find?
Yeah, if you're working for one campaign and they're looking for damaging information about another, the campaign that you're working for takes your information, and are they most likely to use that in a campaign ad?
Well, sh- sure. It just depends on, like I said earlier, how it tests. If that's something that they have found that voters are most interested in. I mean, there are a lot of things out there that you know you find. I mean, Alan and I will do a report and say, man, this is really good stuff, but it just doesn't test very well, and it's surprising on some levels. But that's what you have to go with.
Is anything, in your opinion, too personal? Is there any area that is not your right to look into as a member of the voting public? Or on the behalf of the voting public?
Well, we look at everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's our job. We can't discriminate and say, okay, well, this is off limits. Alan and I, our job is to look at everything and to give it to them in an unvarnished way, and so that they can say, okay, you know, we're not going to use this. We don't want to get involved in this. Oh, you know what? We don't have to use this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you want your candidates to have is an arsenal. Everybody's looking for the silver bullet, but at the end of the day, it's really all the little pieces of shrapnel that add up to paste a candidate. So what you want to give your candidate, your campaign, is really a file folder where they can go into a campaign office in the morning and open it up and say, okay, what do we want to use today? But it is all about timing.
Do you have to believe in the potential of your candidate or the virtue of your candidate to accept a contract from them, or will you sort of do good work for whoever hires you?
Oh, we'll do good work for whoever hires us. I mean, we go in with, I mean, that's our job is to do the best job we can do. I mean, because you don't want to, you know, if we don't, then your candidate can get in a lot of trouble and you know, facts can get out there that are not accurate.
Mm-hmm. Michael Rajabian is my guest. He's a former journalist, now a partner in the political research firm Huffman and Rajabian. He is co-author of the new book We're With Nobody, Two Insiders Reveal the Dark Side of American Politics. If you'd like to be part of this conversation, you can send an email to think@kera.org, or you can call us at 1-800-933-5372. We want to resume the conversation with Michael in a few minutes. Right now, though, we want to spend a few minutes updating you on our goal. By 2 o'clock today, for this 1 o'clock hour of Think, we want to raise a total of $6,500. We have 5,212 left to raise. Would really like to, I would say, pick up the pace, but you can only be one person, so you don't have to, you know, call six times. Just if you could call now and make a contribution to help keep us on target for our fundraising goals to support Think. It certainly is a vote of support for this program, but also for the station as a whole. You can make your contribution at kera.org or at 1-888-694-6931. Jeff Ramirez is back in studio now. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Chris. You know what the membership campaign could really use right now to stay on track with raising the $5,212 left to raise before the end of this hour? Three Friends members.
Three Friends members,
you know,
yes.
A Friends membership to KERA is about $1,500 a year or more. That's only $125 on the sustaining membership plan. I already did my math before going live on the air here, Chris. So three $1,500 contributions, three Friends memberships would get us $4,500 closer to staying on track with completing this winter membership drive in half the time. Really what that means is you will be getting back 12 more days of what you really love about KERA when you make your contribution right now.
1-888-694-6931 is the telephone number. You can also go to kera.org. You know, you have to ask yourself why you do anything you don't have to do. Mm-hmm. I suppose all of us could just do only what we are, you know, sort of legally compelled to do, or maybe some of us only do what we can be held accountable for at work. But almost all of us do more than that. You know, you keep the house clean, not because someone's coming over, but because you want it to be nice and you want it to be a nice place for your family. You buy a birthday present for a friend, not because you'll be in trouble if you don't, but because you care about that friend. There are a million things we work into our lives that we are not forced to do. And right. I think public radio membership is one of those.
Yeah. Or think of this. I think of making your contribution to the station today to support public radio. It's like when you're approaching a door and there's someone who's also approaching a door, you just naturally, instinctively, without thinking about it too much, hold that door open for someone else to walk in before you.
Really notice if someone doesn't do it for you, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But here's the thing about radio. No one notices. You know, you're listening to KERA right now. You may be in your car all alone by yourself.
You slipped in that door.
Right. You're in your kitchen. You're making your lunch. You're listening to the radio by yourself. You know, we say this about radio. really, people don't listen to radio in like a room full of thousands of people. People listen to radio one person at a time. And so, yeah, you can slip through that door without holding it open for someone else. So when you make your contribution, you really are doing something good for the honor system. You know, you're really following through on your sense of duty. KERA, a station like KERA, really provides our community with straightforward, intelligent, incredible. And I hear Jeff Whittington and Chris Boyd talk about public radio in these terms all the time. It's civil, polite, courteous discourse, not people shouting at each other.
There's enough of that out there.
Yeah. You have an opportunity on today's programs to call in and ask some of the smartest people in the world questions that you're curious about. You're the one that makes public radio. You're the one who makes think, quite literally. So call in right now with your contribution, 1-888-694-6931, or click and join online at kera.org.
A gift of just $120 or $10 a month will allow you to choose as your thank you gift a copy of Michael Rajabian's fascinating book, We're With Nobody, Two Insiders Reveal the Dark Side of American Politics. Really good reading, especially in this primary election season leading into the general election season. We would love to be able to offer you the book when you make a gift of support to the station. Maybe you want to make a gift in a different amount. Maybe you don't want to receive a thank you gift. You have a lot of options, which is nice. My favorite option is the sustaining membership, because you can make a really pretty good gift to the station without feeling like it really touches your budget at all, without really missing the money if it's taken out bit by bit every month. Please get in touch with us on the phone at 1-888-694-6931 or go online to kera.org.
You know, Chris, we're already right around halfway towards the overall financial goal for this winter membership campaign. It's $700,000, and we're right around halfway there. So we're well within sight of being able to reel this in. So every contribution, every online gift right now is going to get us that much closer, going to get us that much closer to the end, that much faster. So you already know you're going to call in. You already know you're going to go online at some point and make your contribution. Why don't you do it right now? Because the sooner, the faster, the more we're able to raise right now on this goal of $5,212 left to raise by the end of the hour is certainly going to keep this membership drive on track to be over by this Friday.
We know it's really easy to approach this and you're about to make your contribution and then you think, I don't know, what am I going to get for my money? What have you been getting for your money? You've received all along this great programming that you count on, that you complain about when it's interrupted for just a few minutes every hour by fundraising. We know that you're getting something great from KERA. We're proud to be able to bring it to you, and we bring it to you because it's what you have asked for and what you frankly deserve. But it's only possible with major support from individuals who listen. The great thing is you might be in a position to give major level support, or you might be in a position to give something modest that fits with your budget. Every dollar counts, and you can hear it at work at all times. KERA.org and 1-888-694-6931. Thanks very much for making your contribution.
All right, we've got to say thanks. We'd love to say thanks to Arturo Montoya in Fort Worth, Atiano Odongo in Frisco, Lillian Etheridge, Bluffdale. Chris, do you know where Bluffdale is?
It's in Texas.
Oh, we're going to look that up.
There's a street named Bluffdale in my neighborhood.
There you go. Jim Hunt in Richardson. Thank you, Jim. Great to hear from you this afternoon with your contribution. Right now, we're waiting to hear from you. We've got a goal by the end of this hour of Think by 1 p.m. To stay on track, there is still $5,212 left to raise. Why don't you be the one who calls in right now or makes your gift online? $212. How about $213?
Just kind of go over that little lip.
Get us under $5,000 to raise this hour.
Thank you to Angela and Andrew Day in Frisco. Thank you, William Tyler in Fort Worth. Thanks a lot, Frank Miller in Lake Kiowa, Texas. Thanks also to Leslie Horn. And thanks to you. Perhaps you are finally ready to make your contribution. It is really easy. If you're worried about it taking a long time or you don't feel like talking to anybody, I always like to go online and make my contribution. But if you want to call in, it really does take just usually under 2 minutes at 1-888-694-6931.
Yeah, one of the nice things, very nice things about making your contribution online is that you can take your time, really as much time or as little time as you want, to look at the thank you gifts that the station has available when you make your contribution. And, you know, we just say that, you know, it's in our minds. We have this sense that you know, we've got to provide incentives and enticements to become a membership. But, you know, the reality, Chris, during this drive, we're finding out that a lot of listeners are making their contribution and then declining the thank you gift because they've heard us say it before and we'll say it again. When you decline your thank you gift or when you don't take a thank you gift, all of your contribution goes to help cover the cost of the programs that you tune in for every day. And that's really what you love the most about KERA.
1-888-694-6931 is the number. Thank you so much for your support.
Funding for Think is made possible by SMU Continuing and Professional Education. You can enrich your career with new certificate programs in web design, graphic design, and paralegal studies. Learn more at smu.edu/CAPE.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is Michael Rajabian, partner in the political research firm Huffman and Rajabian. His new book is called We're With Nobody. Two insiders reveal the dark side of American politics. Join us at 1-800-933-5372 or via email to think@kera.org. That's where we hear from Hank in Dallas, Michael, who writes, since the subtitle of your book is The Dark Side of Politics, can we infer that you are somewhat troubled by the way some opposition research is done and how the information is used or misused by campaigns?
I think we are, and to some degree, just because, again, like we talked about, there's so many different ways to get it out there that doesn't document it. So, I don't think overall, I think the campaigns do a pretty good job of trying to keep the facts straight. But there are, delivery mechanisms out there that don't care, and they just want to get their side out there without anything to back it up. So, you know, in that regard, it has changed a lot, and some of it, not for the better.
Can you talk about this? I mean, you are a man with a family. This doesn't seem like a really conducive job to sort of being around for every birthday party and soccer match and things like that.
You know, I let me say this first. I'm a Dallas guy. I was born and raised in Dallas. And so I did want to back up and say it's a big deal for me to be on your show today and just tell you how great KERA has always been.
Thanks.
You know, I wrote in the book that in the last chapter about my teenage daughter who asked me one day, she sent me a text message and said, could you, like, tell me exactly what you do for a living? And I realized that at that point I had never really explained to them. But, it doesn't – you know, I think that it hasn't really affected – you know, somebody asked us, is what we do, does that affect us? And it's not that much different than, you know, being a newspaper reporter, a journalist. I mean, you're going out there and just uncovering facts and trying to document those and get them out there. So it's actually been it's been a great job. It's been a really strange road trip, and that's what a lot of the book is about.
Is it possible to still have faith that flawed human beings might be good public servants?
I think everybody's flawed. Mm-hmm. It's just you have to get down to, at the end of the day, are those flaws something that will affect your ability to lead?
Yeah.
And that's what when you go into the voting booth, that's what you should be thinking about.
Let's go to the phones now. 1-800-933-5372. We have William on the line in Dallas. Hey, William.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
The reason I was giving you a call is because I formerly was a candidate in Dallas City politics, and I was wondering if, after doing his research, he determined that the candidate, even though he might have paid for the services, you know, may not be viable because of those flaws or because of their background. I, for one, was told that, and I went forward. I decided to air my problems or my background in the news itself. I came clean, was honest, did a full-on article about it, but I'm just wondering, in past history, is that a smart strategy? I ended up getting 30%, but I'd like to hear what you think about going forward, even if it may not look viable.
Well, you know, that's a decision that you have to make, and you probably did after, you know, doing some testing, if you did any polling, to find out if it is viable. You know, our job is to give that information to you and let you decide from there what you want to do with it. You know, our personal opinion, sure, there are candidates we've worked for where Al and I have said to ourselves, this this is just not somebody who should be doing this. But, you know, they hire us to do a job. So you have to decide that yourself. I go back to Herman Cain and the situation that he was in. I think it does a disservice. At least if you went forward, your campaign, I'm assuming, and your supporters knew what those things were in your background before you even decided to air those. And I think that's what's important. At least give those folks the opportunity to decide internally. And I don't think somebody like Herman Cain did that.
Do you have an obligation ethically to report it to the proper authorities if you discover something that you actually believe is a crime, or do you forward that obligation and ethical responsibility onto the campaign that has paid you to collect this information?
You know, in a situation like that, that's a tough question, because I don't know that we've ever gotten into a situation where we uncovered a crime that had not already been reported, you know, a crime that had not already been documented by law enforcement. But
I suppose that's encouraging to us as voters.
No, that's honestly the first time I've been asked that question. I don't know how I would answer that. I guess it just, if it was a crime, I'm sure that if there was a crime that if somebody had murdered somebody and I knew about it, I would report that.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go to Fort Worth now. We have Lee on the line. Hi, Lee.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
This is not related to politics, but I was just wondering what your guest speaker could give as far as advice for people in this tough job economy that are looking for work. And, of course, CNN has been reporting on social media background checks, et cetera, et cetera. Would it be beneficial to somebody who's been out of work for, say, 2-3 years, something like that, to hire your candidate your guest speaker or somebody like that to maybe run a background check on themselves to see if a potential employer might be able to, you know, find some dirt on them, et cetera? And that's pretty much my question. I'll take it off the air.
Thanks for your call.
You can, you know, I would tell that person, you know, she can do that herself. You know, there are avenues online where you can go do background checks on yourself and find out what's in your record. Now, we don't ever rely totally on the Internet to gather our information, because a lot of it's inaccurate. And we always go on the ground and go to a courthouse or whatever government building we have to go to get those physical documents. And I think if this person really wants to know what's in their background is not sure, they need to do that as well. But the Internet's a good place to start, and you can do that yourself.
Have you been able to draw any conclusions, generalizations, about candidates who may have things that appear to be glaring problems in their past that they don't recognize for whatever reason or don't imagine will be a problem? Is there a sort of grandiosity in some of these individuals, or is it impossible to say anything in general about people who try to get away with these things?
Well, I think that, again, there's a mindset that they can get away with these things and that nobody will discover them, or even if they do discover them, that somehow they can explain it away. And that's a very tough position to put yourself in, especially in a political campaign, because as hard as you're trying to explain that away, your opponent is explaining it. Mm-hmm. So, no, there are folks who think they can do that, and they don't, you know, our experience is they don't generally get that far.
Is it unfair of us as voters to continue to expect our political leaders to be entirely above reproach?
No. I think, again, you have to look at those qualities that you want in a leader. And at the end of the day, a lot of these things don't matter. You know, we tell campaigns, especially on issues like infidelity, mm-hmm. you know, how does that – if I'm out of work in Pennsylvania, what does that matter to me? I mean, I care about what you're going to do to find me a job. So when you look at those really the personal issues that come up, I think when a campaign ends and you look back, you see that the things that really mattered were those things that the voters affected them personally.
Hmm. Last thing I want to ask is what you recommend to us who are voters in terms of keeping this kind of information in perspective and making wise choices. For example, recognizing that a candidate's infidelity does not affect their ability one way or another to affect the economy in my state.
Well, I think that I'm not sure. I don't know if I fully understood your question, but I think that voters have a responsibility to discern what they're hearing,
mm-hmm.
and they should go to places like PolitiFact.com and check out whether these things that are being said about a candidate against another candidate are true or not before they go in the voting booth. I mean, our job is to provide you information So you don't walk into that voting booth with tape over your eyes. At least you go in there with some knowledge. So you have to really, you know, if you're interested in politics and you're really interested in who's leading you, check it out.
Michael Verjabian is partner in the political research firm Huffman and Verjabian. Together with his business partner, Alan Huffman, he is the author of We're With Nobody, Two Insiders Reveal the Dark Side of American Politics. Michael, thank you so much for spending this hour with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks to all of you who have participated in the show this hour. Thanks to all of you who are making contributions, especially at KERA.org and at 1-888-694-6931. We have $4,726 left to raise to stay on target. That feels far away, but if everyone listening who ultimately, everyone listening right now who will ultimately by the end of this campaign make a contribution, if you just do it now instead of putting it off, we will more than meet that goal that we have for this hour. Please make your contribution at KERA.org or 1-888-694-6931. Perhaps you are interested in a copy of the new book by Michael Verjabian.
And that book is called We're With Nobody, Two Insiders Reveal the Dark Side of American Politics. I'm Jeff Ramirez. That was Chris Boyd. Of course, you know that because you've been listening to Chris for the last 2 hours already, but you haven't yet called in.
You make it sound like 2 hours is more than enough.
No. I was referring to the membership campaign. Your presentation on the air, Chris, these last couple hours has been awesome. It's been excellent as usual. And I say those words with all sincerity because I am urging everyone who's listening right now because – you know, you've already put it off a couple of times. You've heard the telephone number. You've heard the website. Yet you haven't yet called in. You haven't yet gone online and made your contribution. I am urging you right now to make your contribution. You have a moment right now. You've got the radio turned on. You are using the service. Please do your part to help pay for it. This is a listener-supported, non-commercial, independently owned and operated public radio station on the air here in North Texas. You know, I don't think we say it often enough that the board of directors of KERA are people who all live right here. You know, any one of our board of directors could be your neighbor. You know, there isn't a board like that's based in Atlanta or Los Angeles or New York that's calling the shots here, what we do at KERA. This is an independent station. It's based here locally. Your contributions help make KERA so that programs like Chris Boyd's Think, Anything You Ever Wanted to Know with Jeff Whittington, so that Morning Edition and All Things Considered can thrive on the air, help you stay connected to the most important things happening in our world today. And Chris, right now, this hour, to stay on track in the membership campaign, to complete in half the time compared to last year, there's still some dollars to raise.
$4,591 left to raise in about the next 4 minutes. Your contribution now in any amount, especially as a Friends member, would make a big difference. 1-888-694-6931 or KERA.org. You know, Jeff, you were very kind before about the show, and I think this, a lot of people who listen to Think are very kind, and sometimes they're very kind, especially to me, and the reality is the show is not about me. And it makes it easy. It makes me look very good that we are able to, with the help of our brilliant producer, Jeff Whittington, to bring on some of the world's foremost experts in a variety of fields. We are very fortunate to have them, and their sort of reflected glory makes me look good all the time when maybe that's not deserved. I will tell you also that having an audience, having you curious about this programming, really engaged in these topics, you are, as an audience, make this program possible. You create the need for it and the demand for it. You also create the resources that make it possible for us to give you this program. Please help us out now with a contribution at 1-888-694-6931. Another update here, we need $4,471 to make the goal for this hour of the program. Your contribution now will be greatly appreciated, and you will hear how it is put to work every single day of the year.
Hey, Chris, I've got a question for you about putting the show together every day. Now, on today's program, you have two authors. So you've got two books. Like when you're, yeah, it's a live on the air test. Do you sometimes wonder if your guest is wondering if you've actually read the book?
I usually think they can tell that I've read the book.
That was my point, yeah.
Yeah, because, yeah, there's ways to, I mean, there's a little bit of skimming that I have to do. And,
yeah,
you know,
of course.
You know, sometimes we have 600 pagers in one night. And so that I don't neglect my children, I have to do a little skimming. Mm-hmm. But I really need to feel very comfortable with the material. And I think they can tell, and I think they engage better because they feel like I've prepared for the interview.
I'm your witness. I'll confess. I can tell. You know, I listen to talk radio, and I got to tell you, you can tell the difference of when a host like yourself has done your due diligence. You've read, if not all the book, most of the book. You know, a lot of, you know, we hear in commercial radio or other talk radio stations, sometimes those hosts, they only read the jacket.
Yeah. What's your book about? I can't imagine starting an interview, but I've heard it too. So tell us, what is your book about? To me, it's disrespectful to this person who's given us their time, who is mm-hmm. an expert. And it would waste the time. It would be like if you would talk to anybody interesting, you want to be able to ask the best possible mm-hmm. questions. So you want to get ready mm-hmm. for that.
And I guess the point that I'm driving at here, Chris, is listeners who are tuned in right now, you benefit from the serious, the straightforward, the highly credible approach that Chris Boyd takes with each hour of Think, 2 hours a day. There's no one else on the radio here in town who's going to the depth, the quality, and the effort that Chris Boyd goes to Monday through Thursday to provide you these conversations, these insights, and giving you the opportunity to then call in and ask your questions. Well, right now, folks, there's $4,471 left to raise this hour to stay on track with completing this membership campaign in half the time by this Friday. That means you're going to get 12 more days of the programs, of what you really love. What you don't love the membership drive, do you? Do you?
You and I don't mind it. But only because we are gaining resources. But I know what you mean. I think most people, nobody loves the membership drive.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have to
drive.
I think
my mom and dad don't mind it, actually.
I have to drive.
It's more of their little girl on the
air. Yeah, if my parents lived here, they'd have it on all the time. I heard you on the air. Anyway, so, you know, I drive in to work. I drive home in the afternoon. I'm a listener just like you. And during these membership campaigns, you know, these long pledge breaks, these long pledge drives, please do call in right now. 1-888-694-6931 or click and join online at kera.org. Your call is vital. It's important. Please do call.
Big thanks to Carolyn Johnson in Fort Worth, Ashley and James Parks in Dallas. Thank you, Jeannie Torres in Dallas, and Andrew Skinner in Burke Burnett. Your contribution will allow us to read your name next. To thank you, to be very grateful for the support you provide the station. Please go online, choose a thank you gift or not at kera.org, or make your contribution over the phone at 1-888-694-6931. In just a couple minutes, you will hear The World.